Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And today we're going to talk about having 2020 vision. Everybody shout, 2020 vision. Putting God's super on your natural so where you can see things that other people can't see. In other words, when you close your eyes, you don't need to see dead people. You need to see your dreams and your realities and those things that were once in your spirit, but the divorce happened, the setback happened, the affair happened, all the different things that just happens in life. How many of y'all have things happen in life? Raise your hand. Come on, you're in church today. You have issues that come up. And so the enemy oftentimes tries to steal our joy, keep us back, and make us think because it hasn't happened that it's not going to happen. You can't do the math on your miracle. You can't figure out how God's going to rain down manna or who he's going to use. But you got to keep your faith intact and see what other people cannot see, even when you are in the fight of faith. And oftentimes I say that the greatest fight to faith is the fight you keep from fighting in your mind. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen to that right now. So just because you can't see it doesn't mean that you can't have it. In fact, years ago when I started this church 13 years ago, Ashton, who did such a supreme job singing Devil No Not Today. Come on, give it up for Ashton. She was just about 3 weeks old. We had a church of about 180 people, and we always did church that way. In fact, I always say here, one of our mottos is the famous last words of a dying church is we've always done it this way, okay? That works for any organization. So coming up with new, creative, innovative ways to do church, God started exploding our church, but I had to see it before I could be it. It had to become such a reality in my life that I could close my eyes and I could see the church growing. I could see people on the right and the left of me where there were plenty of room for seats, but nobody had ever sat there in my whole life. I started seeing the second service. I started seeing the third service. I started seeing the fifth service. I started seeing the sixth service. I started seeing 8 weekend services a week, and I was preaching them live. And then I started seeing wrinkles come up on my head. Come on, somebody. And then I was just riding my bike one day, a normal day. And I live here in Sunset Hills, and I turned on Highway 30 to ride my bike. Then I turned on 141, and I got up near Culver's, which is always a distraction because the food there is wonderful. If you haven't been there, you should go there today. That's just write that down, okay? And I had a flat tire, and when I got off, my foot hit the ground, and I heard in here, and I want you to pay attention to this, God speaks from the inside out, not from the outside in. So you're not going to hear God on Fox, CNN, CSNBC. The only place you'll hear it is on Newsmax because they put us on for free nationwide to 50 million homes. Come on, somebody. But that was a shameless plug, like my prayers are powered by Powerade or whatever. So I want to explain to you that you hear it from inside. And I heard someday you'll pastor a church in the St. Charles area. That would be Earth City today. I was just there a moment ago and getting ready to go back again. And I didn't know about the building. I couldn't see the end of it, but it comes with the word. And I want you to write this down right now. Every dream starts as a seed. Every dream starts as a seed. We're going to shout it again. Every dream starts as a seed. So there's this little seed that's on the inside of you, and so the devil tries to abort that dream, just like he tries to abort babies. He'll try to abort this thing that was going to happen, but it's not going to happen because after all, now you guys had that issue. This was going to happen, but it's not going to happen because after all, the person that was going to fund it went away. I found that most of the time, God gets his greatest glory stories when setbacks turned into comebacks when only God can do it. In other words, you got a moment that you say, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? And then also notice that when God's getting ready to do something in your life, the devil's at work at the same time. Thank God I had Ashton when Nicole had something to do with it as well, but my dad was passing away here, and we were watching this happen before our very own eyes at St. Anthony's Hospital. And while this person who I love so dearly saw every day, poured all my love into my whole life, we were best friends. I was his pilot. There wasn't a day that I didn't talk to him. And all of a sudden, he's 56. Unexpectedly, he is dying, and then God gives me Ashton. And at the same time, while he's going away, I didn't realize that what the devil was meaning for evil, that God had a replacement plan, that God was going to do something big in our life, that a lot of things were going to be right, even though a few things are going to be wrong. And I'm just here to tell you today, right now, in the setback that you're in, you have to have supernatural bionic vision to say, it doesn't look like the miracle's going to happen, but it is. It doesn't look like I can forgive him, but I can. It doesn't look like the thing's going to turn around, but it will. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, Weldon, I can hear you. So let's go here. 2 Kings chapter 4. Pick up at verse, for the sake of time, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman there, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And then when he would pass by, he would turn in to eat food again. So she must have been a good cook. Can I get an amen? Amen. And she said to her husband, "Look now, this holy man of God who passes by regularly, can we please make him a small upper room, put a bed in it, a lamp in it, a chair in it, so when he comes by, he'll have a place to stand." Verse 11 says, "And it happened one day that they came near, and they turned to the upper room to lay down. And then he said, the man of God, to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite woman.' And when he called her, she stood before him, and he said, 'Is there anything that I can do for you? You've taken such great care of us.' Then verse 14, she replied, 'You know, hey, listen, I don't know. I've got everything that I need.' And he says, 'Well, is there anything that we can do for her?' And then the next verse says, 'And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.'" So she had, at some point during a small group, maybe an iConnect meeting, something happened, she shared with Gehazi, "Well, we've never had kids, always wanted to have kids, couldn't have kids, and the bottom line is my husband's old." In other words, there's no possible way that could possibly happen in the natural. She had given up on the hope. She'd given up on the dream. Then now the man of God says, "Hey, I want to invest in you. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to do this for you." But she had become so paralyzed, thinking that it was never going to happen, that she, when asked, "What can I do for her?" she said nothing. But thank God there was somebody around her that knew the intents and the desires of her heart. And I believe that's why you got to connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. That's why Growth Track is so important. You have to have some people around you, because you're only as sick as your secrets. When I find people really messed up, it's because they were alone. Whitney died alone. Come on, somebody. And okay, she died alone. We'll always love you. Prince died alone. The devil always tries to separate you from the herd, and you need some people to come alongside of you and go, "You don't look just quite right. Are you okay?" And then we do the whole, "Yeah, I'm fine." Let's talk about that for a second. When a woman says, "I'm fine," you're 2 weeks away from divorce papers. Come on, somebody. "I'm fine." So she had gotten around Gehazi. Gehazi says she has no son. Then the man of God looks at her, and I love this verse. I really want you to pay attention. Verse 15. So he said, "Call her." And when she had called her, she stood at the doorway. Then he said to her, underscore this, "About this time next year, you will embrace a son." I want you to shout that with me. About this time next year. Say it like you had breakfast, right? About this time next year, he said, "You're going to embrace a son." Now, nothing changed in the natural. The husband didn't all of a sudden revert back. They didn't put him on some kind of, you know, creams. He didn't get a shot. He's sitting there looking the same. The situation looked the same. But the man of God said, "About this time next year, you will embrace a son." In other words, many times you have to have a vision for the provision to come in your life. I always say, without a vision, people go to another parish. That's why I say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it. Make you feel it every week. We're going to change the world. We're going to do something big for God. I don't get up here and go, "Well, someday maybe we might help somebody. I don't know. I just don't know." No, you got to believe it, but you have to see it. And then you have to say it. And while you see it and say it, you're actually sowing into your future the reality that becomes more visible and more real as you say it about this time next year. Now, the chairs that you sit in here, Weldon Campus, all that was in my mind and in my heart before it actually happened. I had to see it. Then I had to say it. And then other people around me said, "It can't happen. Here's why it can't happen. You cannot check with other people. That's why the Bible said, cast not your pearls before swine. In other words, you can't go to work tomorrow, Shaquita, and tell Bob about what God's going to do in your life. How you're going to own your own business. How God's going to give you the loan. How this going to... No, because you're casting it before swine. Birds of a feather flock together. You got to get around some dream seed people who, when you say, I know God is for me, all things are going to work together for my good. He's going to meet all my needs according to his riches by glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody fans those flames. Somebody's looking at you saying, about this time next year. But then you have to follow your heart. I'm giving you keys right now to change your life. So our church in Florida, by the way, it's exploding. In 2 years, we've been there 2 years on Sunday. It's now in two services, and there's more people than this there at those services. Come on, give it up for God and what God did in Florida. And for those of you that are like, what's up with that? I live there a week, here a week, there a week, here a week. So 50% of my time is there. And we obviously have meet in a high school. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's about a $50 million facility there, and we just lease it. And then we lease an office downtown. And we've been there at that office for 2 years, and it's $10,000 a month, but you have to have a place to do the shows and staff and the whole deal. And about 2 or 3 months ago, I told Nicole, I said, in here, I'm hearing we need to move. She said, oh, we don't need to move. Costs a lot of money to move. We got to move all the IT, the phones, the stuff. We don't need to move until we buy a building. I said, I just keep feeling we need to move. She said, no, I don't think we need to move. And then I was up preaching about, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I heard in here, and this is so important. When a man of God speaks to your life, this is just like Elijah speaking right now. What do you want? First of all, you got to know what you want. Do you know what you want? Some people are like, I'm looking for a man. What kind of man? You want a white man, a black man? You want, do you want an Indian man? Do you want, what is it now? It's politically correct. Native American man? Come on, somebody. We used to play cowboys and Native Americans when I was a kid. So what do you want? Do you want a short guy? You want a tall guy? You want a guy with money? You don't want a guy. You need to write that down, because what happens if you're just looking for any man, you will get the wrong man, and that's why you keep going from relationship to relationship. If you're looking for a job, you got to know the kind of job you want. You have to have clarity on what you want. And then you got to pray prayers that say, about this time next year, it's going to happen. But most of the time, it's already a desire that's in your heart. So I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to do this. And I was up on stage and I just said, hey, we're going to be moving our offices. I don't even know why I'm saying it. They don't care. We're going to be moving our offices, and God's going to give us a building that has an office inside it, like the next office that we rent or lease. It's going to have like a room that seats like 100 people, so our Tuesday night service can stream there, and we can do stuff. So now I came here and I preached the weekend. Next weekend, I'm up preaching, and I hear inside here. This is so important. The Bible says, follow your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. So in other words, when you sense it, you need to say it, because if you don't say it, you won't be accountable. Anybody ever swore to yourself, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, but you didn't tell anybody, and then you ate again with everybody else? Come on, I'm going to try it over here. I know well as being a... Anybody ever been so full at Thanksgiving, you swore, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. And then around 11 o'clock, somebody said, are you getting hungry? And you go, I'm starving. I believe I'll eat. Because if we don't hold ourselves accountable, our flesh is straight up cray. So I said, the next service, I said, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to be moving our offices, and we're going to get a bigger office, and there's also going to be a room in it that seats about 100. So this guy comes up to me at the end of the church service, and he goes, hey, I heard you say that twice, and today I own the biggest garbage disposal company in South Florida, and I just bought this piece of property, and about 2 years ago, didn't even know why I bought it. It was actually an old church, and it's got all these offices on it, and it's like a chapel, and the chapel seats about 125 people. He said, I paid $2 million. I only owe $1 million. I can pay the rest off. Do you want it? And I go, yeah. Come on, somebody ought to get excited about that right now. So I'm saying, if you don't see it, you won't say it. And then you go around in the natural wondering, I wish God would do something. I wonder why God hasn't done something. And God's done everything he was going to do 2,000 years ago. Now he said, all power, all authority has been given to you. And now you've got to let that dream come alive. And you got to say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make everybody feel it, including you. Somebody ought to shout amen today. About this time next year. About this time next year. Come on, shout it. About this time next year. I hope it gets better next year. It won't. Because you got to believe it. I'm not just talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about positive speaking. Now, let me back up just a moment and say again, follow those inner prompting. Now, some of this stuff you're going to think I'm weird on, but you're like, you're out of your mind. And I am. I traded my mind for the mind of Christ a long time ago. And you can't do what I do and be normal. So now that I'm feeling, remember I told you I felt like we're supposed to leave the offices, so I called a real estate guy, and we went and looked at some buildings. Actually, not some buildings, just one building. And I went in this building, and it was too big to be our office and too small to be the church. They wanted $5 million for the building. And I walked around in it, and when I was leaving, there was a pile of trash, and there was a pile of, like, keys. And I asked the real estate agent, because I heard in here, pick up those keys and take them with you. Follow those little promptings. The ones that go back to say, slow down. There's a cop over the hill. Come on, somebody. That one that says, go back and tell them you're sorry. You're talking too much. Anybody ever heard this? You haven't prayed today. You're missing too much church. You're doing too much of your thing and not my thing. And now everything gets weird. So I asked the guy, I said, hey, is this trash? He said, yeah. I said, can I have those keys? He said, yeah. So these keys right here, they were laying on the floor. Out of all the keys, I picked up those keys. And so I pick up these keys, and I put them on my chest of drawers thing, you know, whatever you call it, in my closet in Florida. So every day when I'd see the keys, I'd say, God, I thank you that you give me my building. Thank you, Lord, that you give me all the buildings that we need. We need buildings like this down there. God, I thank you, Lord, just like we got all these buildings. I didn't want these buildings because I wanted to pave parking lots. I didn't want it because I wanted to own 200 air conditioning units at $85,000 a piece. I didn't do it for that. I did it because God was telling me, I need you to build a church that doesn't point the finger this way, but points the finger this way. And it doesn't matter your race, your religion, your persuasion, let you know that God loves you. Can you say amen? So there was something in me that was growing, and the devil's always trying to jack that up, and I'm trying to grow that up through hearing more of the word and less of the world. More of the word and less of the world. So now, this last week, I told you guys a couple weeks ago that the Lord spoke to me and asked a lot of you guys to pray an hour a day. The Bible said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? He said, if you don't tarry 1 hour, you enter into temptation. And you know, the disciples fell asleep that didn't pray 1 hour. So I was doing my time, and some days, by the way, it's not all glorious. Some days you're praying and you think an hour has passed and you've been in it for 3 minutes. Yep. And if you've ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. Then there's days where the glory of the Lord comes in and an hour just flies by, and now an hour can go into 2 hours. And so I was in there worshiping this past Tuesday in my house in Florida, and I heard the Lord say, go get those keys. So I went in, and if you recall, the Lord spoke to me about 3 months ago and woke me up, and my alarm, it said 5:55, was an alarm, just a clock. It's 5:55. Just woke up and I looked at it, and he said to me, 5:55. Five means grace. Everybody shout, five means grace. Five. He said, I'm giving you a triple grace now. You'll be able to do this, this, and that. So he says, go get the keys. He said, count how many are there. So I'm a homeschooler, so I said, well done. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then if you look at number 5, the fifth key, it's actually etched in from the key guy. It's the number 5 with the letter C. And the Lord said, that stands for church. And then all of a sudden he says, look up. Because where I was looking at this rental building, when I picked these up, was 20 minutes away from this building that God gave us. And he said, check this out. Look out, Al's Locksmith. Put it up there so they can see it. Al's Locksmith. And it says, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. So I looked it up and put up the next thing. Come to find out, the church is on the same street as Al's key ring that was there. In other words, if I had known right then what I know now, I could have drove on the street because picture, like, you can take it down. Picture the arch and now picture Chesterfield. How far? You know, that's a good piece, right? I picked the keys up at the arch, and now God has the building given to me on the same street with the key ring on it that's there. I'm just wondering if the keys actually open the door. Come on, somebody. You ought to help me. Now, I know some of you be like, for real? Did that really happen? I could tell you story after story of supernatural happenings that have happened to me. And I know some of you would raise your hand today and say, hey, there's been little things. I saw a movie. Somebody said something in the song. And I thought, could that be God? And it was God confirming his words with signs following. You've got to be led by the Spirit, have supernatural vision, and God will fund that vision. Come on, give God praise today. Verse 15, one more time. So he said, call to her. When she called to her, he stood at the doorway. Verse 16 said, and about this time next year you shall we embrace a son. And then she said, no, my Lord, no man of God, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. And then it says, but the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time. Appointed time. Shout that with me, appointed time. There is an appointed time. And most of the time, the appointed time is not the time that you want it to be. It always takes longer. It always costs more. But it's worth the wait at the appointed time. At the appointed time, God will bring the breakthrough. At the appointed time, when God does something in you first, then he'll do something to you and for you. We're always wanting God to do something to us and for us when really he wants to do something in us. And when he gets that thing tweaked in us, then we have the infrastructure, we have the foundation to have a solid Christ-filled life, a life of balance. Because if God blessed you with a lot of stuff and it takes you away from him, then what good did it do? Because salvation means safety, soundness, nothing broken, nothing missing. But prosperity, if you just think money, you think wrong. I'm not against having money. I think money's great. I'm not against you having nice stuff. I think you having nice stuff is a great witness, and you should have nice things. But if the things take you away from the Creator, if the blessing takes you away from the blessor, then you have something that needs to happen on the inside, and God oftentimes will drill down on you until you go through this wine press experience, and the next thing you know, it's not your will that you're pursuing. It is now the will of God, and now you understand why God gave you the stuff. Come on, somebody. To be a blessing to the blessing. About this time next year. Shout it. About this time next year. Shout it again. Say it again. Say it again. So about this time next year. So every year, we need to have a supernatural expectation about this time next year. Doesn't matter if the husband's old. Doesn't matter if you don't have the money. Never had the money to do anything. But I had a dream, and you have that dream. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And here's another thing. I just felt like the Lord just spoke to me inside. I didn't feel like. I know he just did. He said, tell him this. That most of the time, the enemy talks the loudest when you're really close to what I'm getting ready to do for you. That's a word for somebody. And so he'll try to bring the pressure on. He'll try to freak you out. He'll try to have all kinds. No, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. You can't give up. You got to keep chanting. About this time next year, all hell breaks loose. About this time next year, nobody does whatever they said they were going to do. About this time next year, your husband files for divorce. About this time next year, you have a diagnosis from a doctor that isn't looking good. And you say, I know these things come to take away my faith, but my faith is not in that. My faith is not in the natural. My faith is in the supernatural. And I know my God is going to bring me out of this testimony. He's going to bring me out with a story. He's going to bring me out with some real life experiences, not only to build my confidence, but to build the confidence of others. Because what doesn't kill you, it does make you stronger. About this time next year. Now, on your own time, I want you to read the rest of this passage, but I want to kind of just give you the elevator speech of what happens next. She has the child, and the child's about 13 years old. The kid's out plowing the field with the dad and has a brain aneurysm and dies. Don't you hate it when that happens? My point is that the devil always comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he tries to steal the dream that God gave you. So now you do have the good marriage. You do have the good whatever. You do have the perfect life, supposedly. And then the devil will try to come steal that. But here's how you overcome that. So she had that room built, right? She had that room built for the man of God. So as soon as the child dies, she immediately, in a sense, runs the child to the bed of where the man of God had laid. She laid her dead son there. She closed the door, and she told her servants, get me on the horses. And they went, what was a several-hour journey, as fast as they could to the man of God. And while he was up preaching in an outside setting, he saw the woman. He looked at Gehazi and said, is she supposed to be here? He said, no. He said, why is she here? Find out. And then he yelled at he saw her and said, what are you doing, Shunammite woman? Is all well? Is everything okay? And she said, all is well. It's important to say all is well, even though your son is dead. Even though the marriage is dead. Say it is well. Everybody shout, it is well. And he said, is there anything to do? She said, well, there is one slight problem. The son God blessed me with, he died. So they ran together back, and God uses him supernaturally. He lays his body, the man of God, if you read it, it said Elijah laid his body on the child's body and allowed the warmth of his body. We know that doesn't do anything. But what it did is it activated his faith to go, he's getting warmer, he's getting warmer, he's getting warmer. I know he's getting warmer. I know he's coming alive. Then he gets up, the Bible said, he walked around. He said, God, that woman told me not to get her hopes up. And I got her hopes up and she had the child. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work all things together for her good. I'm just kind of showing you how to do this. And then he lays back on the child again. And then the child sneezed 7 times. And at that moment, how many of y'all know when you see the manifestation of the reality of the marriage being restored, of the life being restored, now you get happy. The point is you got to get happy before you actually technically have a reason to get happy, because faith believes in what it cannot see and it pulls that into reality. Somebody ought to help me right now. In other words, if you can see it, you can be it. About this time next year. And then the Bible says they opened up the door and they walked out together. I think it's like a pep walk. He was like, yo, what's up, baby? But you got to believe God can do it. God can do anything. I'm going to shout it again. I said, God can do anything. And I have so many. I know some of you are like, what's up with those keys? Wonder what the keys were about. These keys will be with me forever. If you go into my office, there's everything that God's ever done. Little moments when God did this. Little moments when I was in a trial and God did that. And God knows I like it. I don't seek signs. I seek God. But then God followed. The Bible said signs follow the believer. So then God brings these little cues. Even this sermon right now is a little clue to you. Because most of you have thought, he's talking directly to me. I hope these other people are getting something out of it because it's totally to me. I know he's talking to me. Who is that? Raise your hand if you're like, yeah, it was me. I'm talking to me. Okay, he's talking to me. Okay, so it's good. Because the Holy Spirit knows what you need. He puts code in my mouth. In other words, if I hadn't have said, someday we'll have a bigger office. Someday we'll have, then the guy, the trash man, would not have heard that. He wouldn't have activated this manifestation. Then his harvest wouldn't have been what it should be, because God didn't call him to have a, he's got an airport in his driveway, okay, so you can land a jet in his front yard. Okay, so the guy, that's nice, but that doesn't make you happy. What makes you happy now is he goes, now I understand that God's using me. Now I understand why I bought the church. He's so excited he flew to St. Louis last Friday just to kick the tires around here to see what God has done. And he walked in here going, wow, is this what we're going to do in Florida? I'm like, yes, this is what we're going to do in Florida, because I can see it on the inside of me. Somebody ought to help me right now. If you can see it, you can be it. The devil is a liar, and the thing that God gave you, he tried to steal it. But I'm telling you, if he gave it to you once, he can give it to you again. If the child died, you can resurrect it. If the marriage died, it can resurrect. If the dream died, you, somebody ought to go with me on this. About this time next year! About this time next year! Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. I know well that I see it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, now, I didn't really want to share this. You can sit down. I don't want to share this, and I wasn't going to share this, but it's the third time the Lord told me, I need you to share this. And I keep arguing with him going, I don't want to share this. Because while I'm preaching to you, I'm also having dialogue. I go places like, you know, why is the back door open right now? It's a dead shot to me. It should be shut. I'm looking at the front door. What's going on? I see a lot of things. Anybody ever take trips? Be honest. Sometimes I'm preaching, you're like, I went to Walmart for just a minute, but I came right back. Come on, who are you? You're smart. You're like, I got something to do. So I'm preaching, but I'm arguing with the Lord. Because this, a lot of you guys are new. All different backgrounds, so you're going to think I'm crazy. Nicole has this little dog. She loves this little dog. Dog weighs 2 pounds. Luppy. It'll fly home with her today. Luppy sleeps with her. Luppy walks with her. Luppy's like her little dog. She pets this dog. She talks to this dog. This dog walks around with her. She loves this dog. She acts tough, but she loves this dog. So a few months back, something kind of crazy happened, and the dog's so little it wouldn't take much to kill the dog. And a little thing happened with the towel. It's a long story, and another dog, and the dog slid across the, the floor, the tile, hit the side. She hit her head just right. And killed Luppy. Luppy laid there, her tongue out, and Nicole's going, oh God, Luppy's dead. And I knew we had a bigger problem than Luppy just being dead. I knew that Nicole is going to kill Nicole. So I remembered a story that my grandmother had told. How that her dog died and she prayed for the dog. And the dog came back to life. I remember the time that Nicole ran over Bo, my golden retriever. And he was all but dead. And God restored him. So I just picked up Luppy and Luppy is dead. And she's screaming. Ashton's in the next room, and she hears me. God, I pray right now for Luppy. God, I thank you, God, that you gave Luppy to Nicole and Luppy right here. God, I speak life into Luppy. God, I decree and declare right now that life is coming into Luppy. God, if you raise Lazarus from the dead, you can raise Luppy from the dead. And Nicole's, oh, God, oh, God. Ashton's running the room. What's going on? Luppy's dead, but no, Luppy was dead. Luppy's coming back to life. God, I thank you that Luppy's coming to life. God, I thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Nicole's like, oh, be careful. She broke her neck. Be careful. I said, oh, God. And then all of a sudden, I saw that her tongue moved a little bit. Her eyes. When I said, even though I thought maybe I saw it, but maybe I didn't see it. I said, oh God, I thank you that Luppy's coming alive. God, I thank you. Then Luppy got a little, all of a sudden Luppy comes back. And Luppy was attacking me yesterday in the hallway. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. You can think what you want to think. I don't believe the dog was dead. The dog was dead enough to bury. And I don't care what you believe. I was led to tell you, whatever needs to be resuscitated today, we serve a big God. We serve a Jehovah Jireh, a Jehovah Matanis, a Jehovah Shalom. And he can restore life back into you. But you got to say, about this time next year, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what in the natural what it looks like. I'm living from the inside. I have bionic vision. I decree and declare that my faith is alive, my favor is alive, my dream is alive, my anointing is alive, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be cut off and shown to be in the wrong. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Oh, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide in this. Somebody ought to go with me right now. I said about this time next year. About this time next year. Shout it again.
About this time next year.
I gotta go.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.